And the king realized what he needed to do and immediately sent a message. And he called the Rosh HaKol, the president of the Eden, Reb Yosef Meir, and he told him that he's afraid of this Galach, who is very dangerous. And he told the Rosh HaKol, the president of the Eden, Reb Yosef Meir, what the Galach said. That if the Eden can produce and they can bring a tzaddik that can beat the Galach with his Koyach HaKadusha, he can beat the Galach's Koyach HaTumah, then the Galach will leave alone the Eden and he won't make him tzaris anymore. And that the Galach set a date in exactly 1 month from today. Outside of the town, there's a big giant stadium. And in this big giant stadium, all the Goyim will gather as the Galach will fight against the Yid that the Yidden will bring. Oy gevalt. The Rosh HaKol quickly ran back, and he ran into the Beis Medrash, and right as he got in, of course, there was another Yid complaining again.
Rabbi Shai, now before it was my business, now it's my house, burnt to the ground, all the way to the floor, my entire house, everything that I had in my house is ruined, burnt to the ground and broken. I have nothing left. I'm all alone in the whole wide world. Oh, this Galach with his Koyach HaTumah. Can't we do something to stop him? Oh, Gevalt, please, I'm begging you. Ribbono Shel Olam, help me out. I can't stand it anymore. He's picking on me. I don't know why. I'm not even a crybaby.
And I put on my pants. And then I put on my shirt. And then I said good morning to my wife. So what happened? What happened, Rebbe Zriah? Wait. I got out of my bed and I washed Nagel Wasser. And Rabbi Yosef Meir came running in. He said,
Rabbi Yosef, this is the situation. I spoke to the king and this is what he told me. That in a month's time from now, the Galach is ready to have a match. If we can bring somebody to the stadium outside of the town that can fight with him, with the Koyach HaKadusha, then he will stop bothering us. But if we don't bring someone, then he will kick all of us out of the town and we'll have to leave.
We'll have to leave the town altogether.
Yeah, we have to leave the town. Unless we find someone that can fight against him with the Koyach HaKadusha.
So the Talmidei Chachamim sat down. They didn't know what to do. And they made an announcement. And everybody in the town came to the Beis HaMedrash and they made a Yom Tefillah. And the entire town was fasting and davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we can hear them davening in the Beis Medrash. Everybody, the mothers, the fathers, the kinderlich, the entire town is davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they daven with the hope that the Eivishter will make this Galach pege, that he shouldn't be able to bother the Yidden anymore. But kinderlich, it didn't happen. And now the great Talmidei Chachamim made a Shailis Chaloim. They fasted and they davened that the Eibishter should send the Malach of the Balach Haloimis, the Malach that's in charge of dreaming, to come to them in a dream and tell them what to do. And that night, in the Stillkeit fin der Nacht, the Talmidei Chachamim went to sleep. And all of them together had a dream where the Balach HaLoimis told them that they will not be zoiche, that the Eibishter will make the Galach pege. Rather, they're going to have to find a Yid that should be able to fight with his Koyach HaKadusha against this Galach's Koyach HaTumah. They woke up in the morning. They all got together in shul and they sat around the big meeting table. They all confirmed that they had the same exact dream. And now the question was, where is this Yid that with his Koyach HaKedusha could fight against this Koyach HaTumah? And everybody in the room said, nobody in this town could. And they didn't think anybody else in any other town could. So they decided again to make a Shailas Chaloim and daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam to send the Baal HaChaloimis, the Malach in charge of the dreams, to tell them where and who this Yid that can fight against the Galach with the Koyach HaKadusha is.
So again, the Talmidei Chachamim of the town fasted all day and then went to sleep that night in the Shtilkeit fin the Nacht. The Baal HaChalomis, the Malach of the Chalomis, came to them in a dream, all of them. And he told them that the Yid that has the Koyach HaKadusha, that's strong enough to fight against the Koyach HaTumah of this Galach, is in a faraway place, may Aver Sambatyoin on the other side of the river of Sambatyoin, Kindalach. What is the river of Sambatyoin? My entire Kindalach, before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, there were 12 Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael. And before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Ashur came to Eretz Yisrael. And he took 10 Shvatim, 10 tribes, and sent them into Golis, and sent them to a place, May Aver Sambatyan, on the other side of the Sambatyan River. Kindalach, the Sambatyan River is a river that the entire week, it shoots giant boulders into the heavens, and then those giant rocks come flying down. It's impossible to cross this river. One day during the week, the rocks stop flying up and down, and that is on Shabbos. Shabbos, the river is quiet. The Baal HaChalomis, the Malach of the Chalomis, told them that the Yid that can fight against this Galach is on the other side of the Sambatyan. They all woke up the Talmidei Chachamim. And early in the morning, the Talmidei Chachamim got together. They all again had the same dream. And now, Kindalach, they needed to decide who are they going to send to the other side of the Sambatyan as a shliach from the town. And so they decided that they're going to write down the names of every one of the Talmidei Chachomim on a piece of paper. Then they will mix it up in a hat and they will pick out one name. They'll make a geirel. That is exactly what they did. They started writing down everybody's name. Folded up the pieces of paper and put it in the hat. They picked out one paper, opened it up. And there it said, Reb Meir Shliach Tzibur. Reb Meir Shliach Tzibur was a very big tzaddik. And he was chosen now to go on this long and dangerous journey to the other side of the Sambatyan River. But before he left Kindalach, he asked for two things. Number one, he wanted to have a letter signed by all the Talmidei Chachamim of the city stating that he is the shaliach of the town to go get someone to help them beat the Galach. Number two, he asked that he should get two people to go with him on this long and dangerous journey to the other side of the Sambatyan. And so Kindalach, he was given both these things. First he was giving the letter, he was giving the two people that should go with him. And he said goodbye to all the Talmidei Chacham and goodbye to his wife and children. And the entire town accompanied him to the end of the town. And Kindalach, they went through many different trials and tribulations on this long journey to the Sambatyan River. And let us perhaps imagine some of the things that they went through. Let's just imagine, maybe, things that may have happened to them. They went through many cities. And they rode through little towns. And every single night they would stop at a different town, a little inn, until Kindalach they came to a giant desert. And they started going through the desert, Kindalach, and it was boiling hot, and the sun was high in the sky. They went for 1, 2, 3 hours, and their horses were pulling the wagons across the rough terrain. And they're going deeper and deeper into this massive desert. And it's already at the end of the day, and they're very, very thirsty. But they have water with them.
Now they go to sleep for the night, then the next morning they get up early and they daven. They start out again, traveling. They go again, they keep going and going. But now, Kindlech, their water is starting to get used up. Towards the end of the second day, they barely have any water left. The third day starts, and they're still in the desert, Kindlech, and they're really thirsty. The sun is beating down mercilessly on them. And the horses are starting to get very edgy because they don't have any water. And Shmulek, one of Reb Meir's helpers, says to Reb Meir,
Oi, Reb Meir, the heat. Oi, I can't take it anymore and I need something to drink. Oi, Gewalt, it's been almost a whole day. I can't take it.
Don't worry, Shmulek. It's hard for all of us. I know, but remember, we're on a very important mission to save the Eden from our town and to save the Eden from the surrounding towns. You never know what this Rasha, this Galach, can end up doing if somebody doesn't beat him. They kept on going, and it was getting hotter and hotter. The sun was beating down, and Shmulek was so thirsty. Oh,
Reb Meir, my lips are so dry. My throat, I feel like it's cracking. Can't take this anymore. Oh, I feel like I'm gonna fall. Wait a minute. Reb Meir, do you see that? Do you see what I see? Look at that. There are trees and a big pond of water. Oh, let me run over there. And Shmulekul Kindlech starts running. And Reb Meir screams, stop, stop, Shmulekul, stop. Don't run, you'll wear yourself out. Stop, stop, stop. But Shmulekul didn't stop running, Kindlech. And he ran and he ran. And as he got closer to the pond and the trees, he realized that they were disappearing. And as they disappeared, oh, he gave up. I can't believe it. What was that? And he fell to the ground. I don't believe it. The mayor walked up slowly behind him and said, "Ay, Shmulekul, you have to be careful. You'll knock yourself out. That was a mirage that you saw. Kindlech, you know what a mirage is? When people are going in the desert and they have nothing to drink for many, many days, and they're very thirsty, and the heat of the sun is baking on them, sometimes their eyes begin to play tricks on them, and their imagination starts to work, and they see in the distance water and sometimes trees, and that is called a mirage. It's not real. It's their imagination. And poor Shmulekul started to run because he thought he can get some water to drink. Reb Meir said to him, Shmulekul, you have to be very careful not to do that. If you do that, you'll knock yourself out. You have to be very careful to go slow in the desert. And with the Eivishter's help, the desert will soon end and we'll have something to drink. And Kindlech, they kept on going. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3. Oh, Reb Meir, I'm telling you, I can't take it anymore. And Reb Meir said, Shmulekul, take a look on the horizon. Do you see what I see? Yeah, I see. It's the tip of a mountain. A snow-covered mountain. That's right. That's right, Mantaira Shmulekul. It looks like the desert is already coming to an end. Keep going and we'll persevere. Because by the end of the day, we'll be at the mountain range. And I'm sure there will be some water. They kept going and going, Kindlech. Finally, at the end of the day, they were at the foot of the mountains. And on the top of the mountains, there was snow, because the higher up you go on a mountain, the colder it gets. So on the top of the mountains, there was snow, and that snow was melting. And now from the top of the mountains, there were streams coming down full of water. Now, Shmulekul, I know you're very thirsty. Make a nice bracha shahakal. It'll be the most beautiful bracha you ever made in your life. And he could start drinking some of the water. Shmulekul made a bracha and he bent down to the water and he started drinking it. Ah, it was like the freshest, most beautiful drink he ever drank. Now Reb Meir turned to Shmulekul and his other helper, Reb Baruch. And he said, now for us to continue, we must go through this mountain range. We're going to have to unhitch the horses. Because the wagon cannot go through the mountains. It's very steep and narrow paths. Leave everything that we don't need in the wagon and everything else load onto the horses in their saddlebags and we will begin going up into the mountains. And so Kindlech, they took everything out of the wagon that they needed and they started heading up into the mountains.
They got higher and higher, Kindalach, they had to cross the mountains. And as they got higher and higher, the colder it got.
Oy, Reb Meir, I can't believe this. Now I'm freezing. This is unbelievable.
Oy, Shmulikel, before you were complaining that it's so hot. You wished it was this cold, and now that it's cold, you're complaining that it's too cold. You have to trust that the Rabbeinu Shloilem will lead you out of this mountain range, and you will make it out alive and well. Just have trust in the Rabbeinu Shloilem. And that night, on the mountain path that was full of snow, they set up their tent. They davened Ma'ariv, they ate a little bit, and went to sleep for the night. The next morning, Kindalach, Shmulikel woke up, and he went out of the tent, and he started saying, Moida ani lefanecha.
Oh, what was that?
Let me try that again.
Moida ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam.
What? Who's saying that?
Hello!
And Reb Meir, hearing that Shmulikel was screaming, came running out of the tent. Shmulikel, stop! You're going to cause an avalanche! Kindalach, do you know what an avalanche is? An avalanche, Kindalach, is when there is a lot of snow on a mountainside. Sometimes the snow is 10, 20 feet deep. Sometimes even deep as the height of a house. Sometimes even deeper, 30 or 40 feet deep. And this snow is very delicate because it's sitting very delicately on the side of the mountain. And if there's a big noise, Kindalach, then that snow starts to fall off the side of the mountain. And it begins to roll down the mountain. And it's like a giant ocean of snow. And now Kindalach Shmulikel was screaming hello at the top of his lungs hello, because he liked the fact that his voice was echoing off the mountain range. And he had caused an avalanche. So Reb Meir said, quick, grab the horses. There's a big giant boulder. There was a huge rock, Kindalach, almost as big as a house, maybe even bigger. Grab the horses, quick. Take them behind the boulder. We can get out of the way of the avalanche. Quick. They grabbed the horses, Kindalach, and they ran behind the boulder. And the avalanche was right on them. They got out of the way right in the nick of time as it rolled past them down the mountain. Oy, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, oy, Gewalt. You were saved now from the avalanche. My entire Shmulikel, you can't make noise like that on a mountain range. I should have warned you beforehand. Let us continue. We have to keep on going. There's not a lot of time left. We must get to the Eiver Sambatian as quickly as we could because it is more than 3 weeks now that we're on this journey. Let's keep on going. They kept on going through the mountains for the next whole day and the next whole night, and finally at the end of the second day, the mountain range started coming to an end, and they were able to see at the bottom of the mountain a huge jungle.